कुंज बिहारी जायो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जाय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जाय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर यमुना तीर वनचारी जायो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jayam Vishnupad Bhavans Parivraja Kacharya Shikmans Divine Grace Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Granthas Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai All glorious assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam Shukha Mukhad Amrita Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagvatam Rasam Alayam Muhu Aho Rasikaha Bhuvi Bhavukaha Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagvatam Rasamalayam Mur Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhu Ahorasika Bhuvibhavakaha Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhu Ahorasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Muhu Aho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha Ladies Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Sukhamukhadamrita Dravasam Yutam ಇವತ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮೋಹೋ ರಸಿಕಾ ಭವಿಭಾವಕಃ ನಿಗಮ ದ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಲಿಟ್ರೇಚರ್ಸ್ ಕಲ್ಪತರೋ ದ ಡಿಸೈರ್ ಟ್ರೀ ಗಲಿತಂ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಮೆಚ್ಯೂರ್ಡ್ ಫಲಂ ಫ್ರೂಟ್ ಸುಖ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಶುಕದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ದ ಒರಿಜಿನಲ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕರ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಮುಖಾದ್ from the lips of amrita nectar drava semi solid and soft and therefore easily swallowable sanyutam perfect in all respects pibata do relish it bhagavatam the book dealing in the science of the eternal relation with the Lord. Rasam, juice, that which is relishable. Alayam, until liberation or even in a liberated state. Muhu, always. Aho, O, Rasika, those who are full in knowledge of mellows. Bhuvi, on the earth. Bhavukaha, expert and thoughtful. Translation proposed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desired tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. In the two previous slokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic literatures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In the shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is a ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things noble, my man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. A regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is the knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. Every living entity, beginning from Brahma, the firstborn living entity, firstborn living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some taste, sort of taste derived from sense perceptions. These sensual pleasures are technically called rasas. Such rasas are of different varieties. The revealed scriptures of the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated. Raudra, anger. Adbhuta, wonder. Shringar, conjugal love. Hasya, comedy. Veera, chivalry. Daya, mercy. Dasya, servitorship. Sakhya, fraternity. Bhayanak, horror. Bibhatsa, shock. Shanta, neutrality. Vatsalya, parenthood. Om Jnanatimirandasya, Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena, Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Sthapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swapadantikam, Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Uta Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Ragunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parijana Shahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakhanvitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Shute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Somewhere in January of 1976, His Holiness Satsrup Das Goswami Maharaj was then a GBC of California area and sending Prabhupada reports of the book marathon which had just passed in December and his added plans for the distribution in January to enthuse Srila Prabhupada about what news would always give him added joy, happiness and bliss because it was in perfect line with his spiritual master's desire. In that letter he writes that Srila Prabhupada, I am reading your books for 3 hours every day. So, and I'm finding it so relishable. I'm just so happy to read your books every day. Is it in line with your approval? So Srila Prabhupada was extremely happy with that news. He was overjoyed that along with book distribution, along with GBC leadership role that he had to play in the zones he was catering to, serving, he was also finding the great pleasure and relish of reading his books for 3 hours per day. Right? That goes to show what type of rasa. You know, he must be really one of those thoughtful expert men, which is being mentioned over here. That how much he must be relishing. And no wonder, then look at back upon why he was empowered to, by the GBC body, in line with, of course, Krishna's desire, to write a book on Srila Prabhupada. Book which all of us have read, relished, and maybe even also expressed emotions of great love and sometimes even tears, seeing the struggle of Prabhupada and his victory and his glory and all that he went through, was something which came from his heart, from his pen. Right? So when you relish those books, and appreciate the person who wrote those books, then you develop love for that person also. Right? So he relished the book Bhagavat, and he also gained the unlimited favor of the person Bhagavat. This sloka has set me thinking, since it was given for speaking today, as to what is that I have received, for the matter what all of us have received. What is the easiest thing for the spirit soul to do in this world? Easiest thing for him to do, any species of life to do, is to seek pleasure through sense gratification. There's nothing more easier than that. Whether it's a small ant or a bacteria in your mouth, in your gut, right? Enjoying sense gratification is the easiest thing and the most natural inclination of every jivatma in every species in this material world. There's absolutely nothing surprising, and because it is such a commonplace thing, which is just happening anywhere and everywhere, it is nothing even great. There's nothing great about sense gratification. It is just absolutely the earthworm, the kangaroo, the cockroach, including, of course, on the high level, demigods. They all are only attracted towards sense gratification. That is the easiest thing. What is the difficult thing then? If this is so easy, of course, in Kali Yuga that becomes very difficult also. People don't have time for this and this nowadays, because 12 hours they are on this. Right? And they don't have this time for this also. Because my patients tell me, sir, kya sone ke baat kar rahe hain? We are servicing US, UK. They are sleeping, we are awake. You know, they have become good akesh now, you know, perverted good akeshes. They've given up their sleep. As Prabhupada says sometimes, you know, just for pieces of bread. And not that they are happy doing that, but it is what life has come to be. That even the basic, forget sense gratification, the basic necessities of life in Kali Yuga become an endeavor of tremendous struggle. So as Kali Yuga progresses, what increases is nothing else but the struggle for mere existence increases. And it will only increase as we go further and further and further away from the real purpose of life. It can never become better till we take a U-turn and say, I have lost my way. Wandering soul. It's called a wandering soul. I have lost my way. Somewhere in the maze, I have forgotten where I... It's called as amnesia. What is the disease of this world? Every soul is in a state of amnesia or forgetfulness. He simply keeps... The moment you get knocked off by an accident, you can't connect to this world. My parents, my job, my house, you're just blank. They just keep wandering aimlessly. And that's what everyone is like here. Just keep wandering. Brahmanda Brahmite. Brahmanda Brahmite. Brahmanda Brahmite. Aimlessly. Anadi karma phale puri bhavar nava jale. This is going on since anadi time. How crazy. And look at it. This is going on aimlessly for millions upon millions and billions of lifetimes. Right? So what is the design? What is the design of this world? And why is it the way it is? We have designer shirts, designer, you know, friendly user, so many gadgets, everything is designer, saris and designer this and designer that, whatever, designer, designer. If human beings can make something which is designer friendly, the creator must have made Design. What is the design of this world? Very simple. The design is frustration. Design is to frustrate the endeavor of the living entity. Because till he doesn't get frustrated, he will not seek any other alternative. If I am frustrated at my job today, tremendously frustrated at my job, I'll look for a better job. If I'm frustrated in my relationships, like anything, having tried everything, I'll look for a better relationship. Right? I'm frustrated with the type of food I'm getting every day, I'll look for a better place to eat. Right? So unless he is frustrated to the limits, he will not turn around. Artho artharthi jigyasu. So design is frustrate the living entity. Right? So he does start looking for alternatives. Right? Give him artha. Make him realize that you are in an awkward place. Like we have a metal piece goes into your leg when you're walking. And there are nails on the road many times people throw here and there discriminately. You walk. And even if you have good footwear, sometimes that the nail can go through. And you think you removed it, but then a small spike may remain inside or a small thorn may remain inside. And you may not know. And then you keep walking and say, yeah, something is happening. And you neglect. There will be pus formation. Swelling will be there. Pain will be there. Why? There is a foreign body in your body. Something should not be in the body is there. Therefore, there is going to be a painful reaction to that. To tell you that you are needing to have some attention here. Go do something. Take an x-ray. Go to a specialist. And get that stuff out. There's something unwanted there in the body. Pain. So, there is pain in this world. There is dukkhalayam in this world. Dukkhalayam means pain. Pain world because we are in a foreign body. In a foreign land. In a foreign place. That is enough to tell us that there is something abnormal about the place I am. Right? The moment something goes, sticks in your nose, you start sneezing, cha-choo, cha-choo, till that stuff comes out. This foreign body has gone inside, it has to be brought out. You breathe some smoke, you know, in a polluted area and you start coughing, cow, 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 till all the toxic air comes out. Right? That's how the body is designed. So, the suffering of this world is a clear-cut purpose in mind of the designer that I want to give these people much higher pleasure than what they are getting over here. But the guy is settling down for something so cheap here. Right? So frustrate him. Otherwise he will not look for something better. Right? How do we go about getting this knowledge though? There are many people who are frustrated. There's no dartha people who are frustrated in this world. There is no dartha people like that. You know, you take a survey, a poll, you know, are you really frustrated? Sir, it's just a question of degree. To what degree I'm frustrated, I can tell you. It is a question of degree, people are frustrated. Frustration is universal. In relationships, with the politics, with the pollution, with your personal life, with your family life, with your financial situation, with your job situation. Right? It's just too much. Frustration. Right? But who is that Bhagyavan Jeev who will turn to the right place? What are the sources of knowledge? What are the givers of knowledge? Right? Who are the people who have actually digested that knowledge? These are such confusing things. For a spirit soul to be in this world in a state of amnesia, wanting this world, to reach out, to understand the absolute truth, is the most difficult thing you can ever even imagine to be done, ever. For somebody lost, unconscious of his very existence, for him to say, you know what the absolute truth is? Absolute truth. It is not even his vocabulary to even think about that. Where is the next loan I'm going to pay? ईएमआई भरना क्या बाबा, तुम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ का क्या बात करता है? राइट, फॉर हिम दैट इज द ट्रूथ, दैट दैट फेलोज वॉन्टर्स विल नोटिस विल कम फ्रॉम द बैंक दैट इफ आई डोंट पे फॉर 3 months, 6 months, द गाय विल से आई विल मॉर्टगेज, आई विल कॉन्फिस्केट योर प्रॉपर्टी, दिस एंड दैट, यू नो, ही दैट इज द ट्रूथ फॉर हिम, एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ, नो क्वेश्चन, राइट. एंड इवन देन इफ समबडी मनुष्याणाम सहस्रेशु is really understanding that there is something beyond sense gratification, maybe, which is what I am looking for. Because look at this stuff, you know, I mean, I'm just having everything which everyone has got, and the Americans had everything, and the Japanese have everything, and those Germans though have everything, more than that also, and everyone is having everything. And you know, they have cars and roads and beautiful bodies and, you know, nice hair and this and that, and I mean, they don't seem to be happy, and you know, they're committing suicide, and everyone is having divorces, and you know, the social statistics is so horrible. And then, it doesn't seem to be what everyone's getting. Everything after the Second World War, U.S. went to the sky, and 1945, and the next 20 years they just boom zoomed up into such economic growth, unbelievable. Nobody had seen in the world such economic growth. Then cars, and television, telephones, everything was given. And the whole young generation, after having all that which no American ever in the last several centuries had, getting all that, all the youth, result of that is rejection, frustration, hippies. So when a thoughtful person thinks of all this, he said, yeah, there must be something beyond some gratification. Because if gratification of senses is the goal of life, then these people have all this and even more. But they are utterly frustrated. In fact, they are more frustrated than people who don't have this also. The more they have, they seem to be more frustrated. And then you start thinking of something beyond. So, this is a type of knowledge which was imparted. Some of the most important things in our curriculum of Krishna Conscious Journey, a book which is written but forgotten, very poorly read, most under understood, is Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Right? A book which I released a few years ago, but it has also fallen from my active pursuance. But in that great scripture, you have some of the most powerful siddhantic understandings which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu imparted. Look at the conversations given there. Mahaprabhu has come to give knowledge, right? He's come to give knowledge, to re-establish dharma, which is fast waning in Kali Yuga. To re-establish principles of dharma. And one of his external reasons to come to this world. He speaks to Rupa Goswami, the Shatanvi Ghat, 10 days, non-stop, indoctrination. 2 months, Sanatana Goswami, in Kashi Banaras. 2 months, rigorously, indoctrination, beginning with Jivara Surupaya Krishnanta Das, and more, far more than that. Right? Powerful. And then look at Mahaprabhu's samvads. Right? Because these samvads actually give us the intrinsic deep faith as to what actually is the goal of all this knowledge. Right? He debates with Keshav Kashmiri, the most prakanda prakhar pandits of that time. Mahaprabhu is not talking to some era people. Right? That is not his class. To show the world what he wants to give, he handpicks the most powerful, the most intelligent, the most celebrated and highly respected candidates from the entire planet to talk to. Right? Who are actually the beacon lights of this world. Who are they? Keshav Kashmiri. Nobody was a match for him on the whole land of India. You know, India was a land of knowledge. Takshila was there, Srinagar was there, Banaras was there, Kashmir was there, and so many more. And each of these pockets, north, west, east, south, had such powerful the schools of knowledge. And he began from north, Kashmir, and he was going down south, everywhere. Anybody there? Koi hai? Like that he was, practically. He didn't say Maikalal, but something like that. he was almost in that mood. Anybody even debate like to me, with me? I mean, when people came to know that this person is a son of Mother Saraswati. Right? And when he speaks, she speaks. Saraswati is the embodiment of all knowledge. Every scripture in the world is known to Mother Saraswati. Right? So when he speaks, practically she's speaking through him. Now who can debate with Mother Saraswati? And who has the guts? So he was going, collecting so many huge, maybe having a truckload of Vijayapatras. Right? And I said, I should go to Navadvip also. And it's a big... Navadvip was... The city was made by Brahma himself. Navadvip is not just... It is designed by Lord Brahma. So it is a very special place in this world. Because Lord Brahma, there's the most intelligent people were placed in Navadvip. The Bhattacharyas, the Mishras, the Chattopadhyayas, the Upadhyayas, all of them were in Navadvip. So they were really far out people. Right? You are really up there. Every possible knowledge, except I think Nyaya was not there so much because that had to be learned somewhere else. But every other school of knowledge was powerfully taught in Navadvip. So he came, I said, I should go to Navadvip. And everyone just like backed out. They want to face him also. Public humiliation ho jayega. All of the people, I said, my students are there. And these people had thousands of students. So imagine in a scene of 1,000 students, when you have a debate of your sir, your teacher, your professor is sitting with somebody else, all your students will come, sir, maybe I'm okay. Everyone will be sitting there. Right? And he gets humiliated in the first 5 minutes. So nobody wants to debate him. Everyone said, let's, select Nimai Pandit for this. Because he's the youngest, he's like a rising star, like you have new actor coming, just new actor is there who's not still in the Bollywood mainstream. It's just rising star. It's supposed to be good. People like him, He has a lot of followers also. Let's put him in. But if he defeats him, hamara gaon ka bachcha ne hata diya, right? And if he gets defeated, well, he's a bachcha, so he gets defeated obviously. Right? That was his thought process. So they pushed Nimai. And so he said, I have heard you are supposed to be a great teacher. So debate starts. We know the whole story, right? He gets utterly defeated. In the first few minutes, he gets defeated, right? Then Mahaprabhu selects another powerful personality when he goes to Jagannath Puri. This is after sannyas. Sarvam Bhattacharya. Wow, what a personality. Brihaspati personified in this world. Look at the characters he has chosen. Who is Brihaspati? Hello? Guru of the demigods. The demigods themselves have like unlimited capacity in their hard disk, to understand knowledge. What human beings, we think we may have a lot of some slokas we know here and there, something here and we can just rattle off and impress people. Are kya aata isko? We can impress people. But demigods? What they know, we don't even know what they know. So it's not even worth imagining what they know. Huh? They know everything that is knowable. And their guru is Brihaspati, and he is born as Sarvam Bhattacharya. And he is the Rajpurohit of Maharaj Pratapurudra. Mahaprabhu is staying right in his kingdom there. The first person he meets there when he becomes unconscious in front of Jagannath Swami is Sarvam Bhattacharya. Because he is his target audience. Lord arranges like that. That he, Mahaprabhu gets, how Yogamaya is arranging things, he falls unconscious at that time, Sarvam Bhattacharya is there. Why he should be there at that time? But he is there at that time. So, he puts this cotton swab and he is in some sort of deep, something is happening here, So, he understands something is mystically happening here. He doesn't rule him out as a sentimentalist because literally he is not feigning to be unconscious. I can see that he actually has got no pulse and everything else. There's just a small glimmer of cotton is moving in his nose. So he's in some deep state of ecstasy that he could understand. Let me worth investigating type of case, so he takes him home. Let's find out. It's like a, intellectual, metaphysical curiosity. She takes him home. And then he tries so many things to wake him up, but nothing wakes him up. And then Gopinath Acharya comes and they start having loud kirtan. Tapak, tapak. Loud kirtan there and he gets up. Mahabhu gets up. That's the only way you can wake up the Lord, right? You know, he didn't get all the mundane sounds. And then the debate is there. 7 days. Right? Now imagine, I was thinking, Srimad Bhagavatam ka one verse I discuss, right? Atmaram verse. One verse. How many verses are there in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000. And one verse, this great personality could decide how many ways? 9 ways or something? Sarvabhattacharya, 16 ways? 18. 18 ways, right? In 18 ways, this great Prakhar Pandit could analyze one slogan in 18 different ways, in 18 different commentaries. So if you have to print out, you take a printout of all that, right? It'd be like a whole book in itself on one verse. It's like a big book. 18 analysis of one verse. And suppose you ask him to speak on other verses also. You know, so you can imagine what must be his knowledge. And Mahaprabhu was just in a ticket. He's just listening. 7 days, seven days, just listening. He said, you are understanding something? Is something going inside you or no? No expressions, nothing, you know, no questions. Are you all right? And imagine the power of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya. To tell a pandit of this caliber, who was a grihastha, here is a sannyasi, here is a grihastha, right? And he used to make sannyasis. He used to initiate sannyasis. He used to teach sannyasis. He used to make them, he would give them, he used to classify them into different types of sannyas schools. In Bhartiya, ye Shankara ka isme ye tirtha hai, ye ashram hai, right? The different schools, right? Tirtha, ashram, like that. He would actually allocate them to what, depending upon their, it's like accreditation, you know. You belong to the Bharati school. That was his, what is his caliber? Right? Well, I understand what you're saying. But your explanations, my dear sir, are like the cloud. Cloud? Not our technology cloud, not that cloud. Now also we say cloud and all that, you know. I also want to kiss that konsa cloud. Which cloud is my data I know into right now? Which cloud? So your explanation is like the cloud. The Vedanta Sutra is brilliant like the sun. When the sun is shining, everything becomes self-manifested, right? Like when the sun is shining right now, of course, we are in a room, so we have tube lights and all that. But if you go out, the sunlight, you know, you don't need anything. You don't need any other, you know, torch to go around and the sun is there. You know? The sun is shining, so everything is like, you know what is what, this, that, you know, you see everything. The Vedanta Sutra is like the sun. But your explanation is like the cloud. It's blocking the sun. Imagine telling this to Brihaspati, right? So he was like shocked. What are you talking? So you tell me, okay, what is your understanding? You tell me. And then Mahaprabhu starts. And he analyzes the verse in how many ways? 64 ways? Huh? I forgot. What is that? How many ways he analyzes Atmaram verse? 64, right? So that chapter is there. 64 means Atmaram. So Mahaprabhu exceeds him. One is 18. Now he goes to 64 verses. Now imagine how shocked must be Sarvam Bhattacharya. Right? That is supposed to be a grammar teacher of yesterday. He took sannyas out of sentimentality, you know, sannyas lilia, very bold. He took sannyas. He is a complete bahuka. He is a complete sentimentalist. And he is shocking me with 64 understanding, which is, and he's not even touching any of the 18 which I have given. It is a completely different type of analysis he has given. So he's like, wow. Who is this person? He must be God. He must be God. Because nobody on the planet can speak like this. I know everybody who is there. I know I have given them accreditation. I have given them sannyas order and all. Nobody is there like this. He must be God. But I said, no. How can he be God? Because Kali Yuga says, you know, God is Triyugi. In Kali Yuga, there is no God only. And then Gopinathacharya goes and preached to him, you are like a dry logician, you are eating the oil cake, khake, kuch nahi uskandar, nothing is there, you will not understand. So the point is, what is the point here? The point is, scriptural reading is not the way to bhakti.
There is a clear-cut conclusion drawing from this samvad. That if you know all the scriptures of the world, you will not reach the goal of bhakti, for sure. If it was true, the Kashyapa Kashmari would have become a great bhakta, because he knew all the scriptures. Ramachandra knew all the scriptures and then more, but he now became a bhakta. Right?
Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham, atma bhakta.
Right?
That means scripture alone is not the path to the absolute truth.
Why?
Because scripture is subject to misinterpretation by people who are themselves impure at heart. Right? The Gita had 771 versions in this world. And Prabhupada asked Swamiji what Gita should read. He said, well, I don't think anyone is worth reading. How egoistic? Eh? You don't think anybody of these people know anything about the Gita? No. Prabhupada was very clear. What is the power? What is the power of pure knowledge, uncontaminated by human interference? Why? A human being has to have four defects. Intrinsically, by designer, he has to have four defects. There's no human being in the world who has no four defects. Everybody has got four defects. It's universal. So with the imperfect brain and subject to being illusion, even if you're reading the purest scripture, you're bound to misinterpret it. Right? Mahapur selects afterwards Prakashan and Saraswati. Right? What is his level? 60,000 disciples. Whole Banaras was his practically. Whole Banaras. Nothing is left practically. Maybe 61,000 people staying there. I don't know how many people were staying there. Everyone was his disciple. Right? Practically he was the guru of the entire Banaras area. Number one. Mahapur says, I'll talk to him. See, Mahapur's approach is so powerful. He is not wasting his time. He wants to establish Sanatana Dharma, but he's not just going and talking to any, fellow. He's selecting the top brass to make him understand the value of bhakti. The most intelligent gnanis are his audiences. And of course, how beautifully, how gracefully Mahapur defeats him. Said, my guru told me, no, you are a fool. Tumko aisa Vedanta Sutra nahi samjhega. You just chant Hare Krishna. So there is a song in Barsana which we used to sing before. I think they sing it now also. Yugala nama shruti sar hai, Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna.
Just one simple line, one simple nice song of Barsana. But it hit me when I was thinking about this verse. Right? What is the goal of all these shrutis and smritis?
Yugala nama shruti sara.
The goal of all this knowledge is encompassed in this yugala nam. What is yugala nam?
Radhe Krishna. Radhe Krishna.
Right? Because we must understand the scriptures have a design. As Prabhupada says here, they are all made to go like this. Right? Physical, chemical, social, political, Ayurveda is part of Atharvaveda. Right? All these things are given. But Krishna is very clearly saying 15th chapter. Very clear. Crystal clear. Vedaisya sarver aham eva vedyo. Vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. How explicit is Krishna? Krishna is the sun. Krishna Surya Sama, right? So his words also like the sun. If you don't know Sanskrit also, everyone can understand this. You don't have to be a scholar for that. Right? Of all the Vedas, aham eva vedyo, they are all meant for knowing me. Vedanta krid, I am the compiler. Veda vid, Veda means to know. I am the knower of the Vedas. Who is that personality? Ved Vyas.
Now this person, now let's talk about that personality now for a moment. Because then we have to come to this, a drawing conclusion which moves us towards today's verse. Right? Now this personality is so great. He wrote all the Vedic literatures. How many are there? Nobody knows. You know, there are four Vedas, 108 Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra. But he wrote so many more. Right? So nobody in the history of mankind has ever written so many scriptures. So after writing all this, then if you were to ask Vyasdev, sir, you have written everything which is necessary for man to know. Everything, right? He wrote the 18 Puranas, 6 for the mode of goodness, 6 for the mode of passion, 6 for the mode of ignorance, Ishopanishad, all the Upanishads, you wrote the Mahabharata, you wrote in which you encapsulated the Bhagavad Gita inside that. You did all those things. When an author writes a book, then he feels satisfied that I communicate. Why do you write a book, right? Why does the author write a book ever? Right? Because he wants to communicate. Is a modality of communication to the world, right? So if you write so much, extensively, you wrote so much, right, sir? So you must be so satisfied, right, that you could give away so much of your knowledge. But what is the heart of Vedavyasa in the first canto? He is very, very despondent and dissatisfied. Right? That speaks volumes for us. That speaks volumes for anybody who understands Vyasadeva's heart through the Holy Scripture. That this person who has given so much knowledge, means he has given everything, right? Physical, metaphysical, spiritual, mundane, supramundane, sab kuch diya. If he's dissatisfied, then what is wrong with this? Then something else is there, right? So he's thinking like this, Narad Muni appears in the field. Now, if you remember your guru with a very deep conscious heart, guru will come, in some way he will come. He will reveal. So Narad Muni is a guru of Vedavyas. He said, my dear son, I'll tell you your problem. You have not written a scripture which glorifies the pristinely pure and sweet pastimes of the supreme absolute truth, the supreme Brahman. Because that in itself alone is what is the solution, the panacea, cure, which takes you beyond dharma, takes you beyond karma, beyond kama, beyond artha, and even beyond moksha. The Vedas which Vyasadeva wrote are like desire tree. In the spiritual world, you have desire trees, kalpa vrikshas, we know that. Kalpa lakshavasur bipalayantam, we say every day, right? So those desires, when they reflect, this material is what? A reflection. Urdhva gata mula, urdhva mula gata sha. Right? So that desire tree, when it comes to the material world, it comes in the form of Vedas. Because that desire tree is also fulfilling all desires of the people living in over here. That is fulfilling desires of people living over there. So all the Vedas written are reflective of the desire trees of the spiritual world. Everything was there. Right? Even great demonic people like Hitler found something in the Vedas. They found a swastika there. This symbol of power. And that was his. He took it from the Vedas. You know, Germans. Germans are the biggest library of Sanskrit today in the world is not in India, is not in Kashmir, is not in Rajasthan, it is in Germany. And the biggest scholars of the world are in Germany today. Right? Because they took all the stuff from here. Right? So many of these people, they get a lot of knowledge from there. Computer science, they are using Sanskrit for computer science as a language. Not Indians are doing that. People who are living in Germany are doing that. That apart, we won't talk about that dimension today. Right? But the point is that everything is given there. Reflection is Vedic literature. Now Vedas is telling him, you have to write something which purely describes the pastimes of the Lord, because that alone is the mature fruit. Everything else is fruit. Dharmartha Kamoksha is like the four branches of this tree. Right? But it is not what is said is, the word used here is galitam. Galitam.
Sridhar, our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares this to the mango tree. So Mahaprabhu's pastime is a very sweet pastime, which we should remember here, right? Mahaprabhu took a seed, right? He put it in the ground, mango seed, right? And from that, instantly in front of everybody's eyes, like, wow, it's happening. It just in within a few seconds, the whole tree came, and on that were what? Galitam phalam. What was that? A mango. But a mango which had no skin and no seed. And this is ripe. And only one mango. And the devotees had chanted for hours together and they were completely exhausted, dehydrated. That one mango was enough to fulfill all their desires. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is only one scripture required. Galitam phalam. That one mango, if you eat, this has got no skin, because skin is also a problem. You have to remove that skin, right? But the Bhagavatam has got no skin, and has got no seed. Anywhere you eat the Srimad Bhagavatam, because they were destroyed Srimad Bhagavatam, said, Prabhupada, we are distributing 10th canto. This is like the face of Krishna. And okay, one of first canto, second canto on the airport is fine. But somebody on the airport, you know, he just goes and says, $5. He just takes 10 canto with him in the, you know, house, and he'll read, what is all this? You know, he's not understanding anything. I said, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a mango, is no skin. Wherever you eat it from, it'll be, you'll relish it. Right? So that is the mango which we have been given. And therefore we find interesting enough that the way to, when Mahaprabhu was sitting, out of Gambira in Todagopina temple, then the greatest devotees are not discussing Ishopanishad, Sridhasara Upanishad, you know, Taittiriya Upanishad. They are only great scriptures, no doubt. Right? Nothing. But what are they relishing? Relish. The word rira is rasa. Rasa. Chakravarti Thakur says that it is so much rasa that if you keep drinking it, what will happen one day to you? Become unconscious. Like we take alcohol, a lot of alcohol. None of you have experience, I'm sure. Neither me has experience. But we know from our experience that people around that they drink and then drinking more and then they say hey, RPO. Then they drink more and then drink more and whoo, and they become unconscious, right? And you get up and you say okay, drink more. They drinks more, right? Becomes totally knocked off. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Chakravarti Thakur says that it is so intoxicating this. That you can't stop drinking this. And if you keep on drinking it, you get knocked off. That is considered the 8th level of the Ashtasattvic Bhav. The last symptom is what? Last symptom is fainting in ecstasy. So that is what Bhagavatam is all about. That you drink, and you faint in ecstasy. And you get up. What happens? You want to drink more. Drink and you faint. Right? So this scripture will take you to that level of intoxication where you are completely intoxicated in Krishna Prem. So that is what we have been given. Right? How we have been given this? So the entire maze of so many scriptures, Advaitavad, Mayavad, Vishishta Advaita, Dvaita Advaita, and then in the 89th century, all these same scriptures, Bhagavatam was there. But Aula, Baula, Karabhaja, Gauranga Nagari, Chudadhari. All these guys were there. Today we don't hear these names, no? But in the complete, utter confusion, all this was lost. Philosophical deviations, upper sampradayas. Through all this, how you and me have got this Galitam Phalam. I fail to understand this. When I read these words, I am completely myself. I don't know what is my emotion. Right? How did I get this? Right? It has to come from pure devotee. Bhagavatam says, 6th canto, Muktana api siddhanam Narayana Parayana Sutralabha prasannatma Kotishu api Mahamuni. That person is
Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Chal Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.